Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Estuary Live. My name is Whitney Jenkins. I work for the North Carolina National Estuarine Research Reserve. We sure do hope everybody was on earlier while we were doing some sand sculpting with Dominic Brugnolati from Duke University. And we did have a request to name the seahorse that he's carving out there on the Rachel Carson Reserve. And some of the entries we've had so far are Penelope, Sandy, Phyllis, Kiwi, Debbie, Bob, and Mystery. And those are some great names. I think my personal favorite is Sandy, just because it's a little bit ironic since the seahorse is made of sand. Anyway, we're going to be going back to Dominic a little bit later, and we're going to see the progression of our sand sculpture, the seahorse. And coming up soon, we're going to be talking about some different kinds of crabs. Dr. Dan Richoff with the Duke University Marine Lab is here. And he's an expert on blue crabs and all other sorts of crazy marine organisms. And we do have some blue crabs here with us now. And we also have some fiddler crabs and some hermit crabs in the trailer. I don't know if Chris can get a close-up of maybe our baby blue crab we have in our tank. He's right over here. And you can see those back flat kind of flaps on the back. Oh, look at him putting his claws out. It's just his defensive mechanism against the camera. He thinks the camera's going to come and eat him. And he's a juvenile blue crab, or she. Do we know if it's a boy or a girl, Dr. Dan?
We can find out fairly soon.
Oh, wonderful. Do not try that at home. These guys will take off fingers.
Okay, now This one right here is a little girl. And the way you can tell, there are two ways you can tell. Girls have painted fingernails. And if you look at the abdomen of an immature girl, it's triangular. See, this is her tail folded under. And when it's unfolded, it would be like a lobster. This is called a brachyuran because it's got its tail folded under. And the girls that are immature look like this. And we'll go up the line. So, one of the really interesting things about crabs is, one, they don't intend to hurt you. But two, if you can get below them, they won't necessarily pinch you. So what I'm going to do, Chris, is I'm going to come into your field of view from below. And we can do that with a really big one if you want to. Okay, so I'm going to add another girl that I picked out for another totally different reason.
Okay.
Go ahead, Michael. Just pour that girl in here. Yeah. Try not to splash.
This is Michael. He's one of our students from East Clayton Elementary School.
Okay, now this is a little more difficult to look at. See, look at what they're doing. And if you look at the two girls there, oh, now that's not good. Okay, so now they're separated. And the reason I chose this one, and this is going to be really hard, Chris,
okay,
but focus in on the paddle foot.
Okay.
Now the very back leg. See, there's a line there? If you look very closely at the paddle, you'll see that there's a line in the paddle. This animal's going to molt pretty soon. When crabs molt, they have their skeletons on the outside. So to get bigger, they shed that skeleton and then pump themselves up with water and then harden the new skeleton. And this particular crab is getting ready to molt probably in about a week or so. And the result is you can see the new skeleton in the paddle. And if I pick up the other little one, and you look at that one, you'll see you can't see that. There's a line all the way around the paddle. And you see, have to be careful because they'll pinch each other. See how dark the line is in one? That's all those new hairs and everything forming. And the line isn't as bright in the other one at all. Now I'm going to turn that girl over in a second, Chris.
Okay.
And you can see, well, there's something you can see here. I'm going to put this one back. Whoops, wrong bucket.
Michael. I'd like to say hello to Saluda School. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. This animal's not really close to molting, but you can see there's some color in her abdomen. And in a little while, that will be really, really pronounced. And then when she molts, she'll go from this triangular shape to the shape of a mature female. And I'll show you that in a little while. Okay? And you notice she really has nice painted fingernails. Okay, so I'm going to put her in her own bucket.
And while we're changing out crabs, I'd like to introduce Terry. Terry, will you tell us where you're from?
Sure. I'm Terry Denault from West Carteret High School.
What grade are you in?
I'm in 12th grade.
Oh, excellent. We're about to graduate. Yep. And so everybody can see him on camera. This is Dr. Dan Richoff. Thanks for joining us today, Dr.
Well,
Dan.
It's my pleasure to be here. And since we started with the crabs, I think that we'll finish with the crabs. Why don't we get Corey to come out for a little while?
All right.
And then we'll send her back in.
Corey is another one of our students from East Clayton Elementary School. We'd like to say hello to East Clayton. We know they're watching today. Here's Corey. Say hello.
Hi.
And Corey's going to be my assistant in the other end of the system, but since we started with the crabs, we might as well finish with this part of the blue crabs, and then we can come back to them in a while if people are interested. So you've seen two little girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to have a boy. So, is this a boy?
Let me see. It doesn't look like one.
Well, let's see. Have we looked at this one before? I don't think so. Now, these are getting a little bigger.
Can I pinch you?
No, they're friendly.
Dr. Dan is our blue crab whisperer.
They're very, very friendly. Now, they're so friendly. Hand me that white tube over there.
Hello to Miss Garner's class at White Oak Elementary. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, cow.
Okay, now, you notice that I'm showing these crabs a little more respect? And the reason I am is because the bigger they get, the harder they can pinch. And this crab can draw blood. Now, if you look at it, look at what I'm doing here, the crab's not pinching me, is it? No. So, this is interesting, because here I am holding that crab, right, Corey? And it's not pinching me. And how come, do you suppose?
Because the way you're holding it, the claws can't reach your fingers.
Okay, so it can't get there, can it?
No.
Okay, so now... Now, you guys have been out to the estuary already?
I haven't.
You haven't?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have. You've been out there. Have you noticed that there's stuff growing everywhere? How come if the crab can't scratch back here because it can't get me, how come there's nothing growing on it? It's hard, just like a rock.
Probably just because, it probably just because it, I don't really know, actually.
Do you know... Okay, you guys saw the big snails this morning?
Yeah.
When you saw the big snails, do you know where they go when the tide goes out?
They go with the tide?
Nah, they're way too slow runners. They can't run that fast.
Well, they go into the sand.
They go into the sand. And the reason the blue crabs are clean is because they go into the sand about every 6 minutes. So when they're out running around in the field, every 6 minutes they bury in the sand. And because they're buried, things can't grow on their backs. So what happens if you look and find a crab with things growing on its shell, and you look inside to its gills, and we'll look in that in a little bit, you'll find parasites there. Because the crabs that have things growing on the outside can't bury anymore because their ability to breathe is restricted and they're forced to stay on the surface. And when they do that, they foul because they can't reach back here. Now, these guys are still tiny.
Yeah.
And one of the results of being that tiny is they molt pretty frequently. So even if they got something like a barnacle on them, they'd shed their skeleton and leave it behind. fixate. So this is a male. And he's actually going to molt pretty soon, too. This is the time of year when crabs molt, because they've been not molting all winter. And you can see he has a tiny little tail. Real skinny little tail. And when they're little boys, all the way up to when they're adults, they have tiny little tails. We'll see and look at all of that. Okay. So this is a small male. Now, he's got incredibly colorful claws for such a little animal. He looks almost like a girl. When we get to the bigger ones, you'll see that they change, and they don't have this much color on them. You also notice he's missing a leg. Do you feel bad about that?
Why are you missing a leg?
Actually, I don't, because in one of my classes, I learned that their legs grow back, and that they lose legs pretty often.
What's the question, Michael?
It's already starting to grow back. It looks like it's all the way in. It's not going to grow back, but it's already growing back.
Yeah,
it's just not all the way yet.
And one of the really neat things about crabs, and you can actually do this to them. It's not very nice. I don't do it on purpose. If you pinch them right there in the middle of their leg, they'll drop their leg. They have muscles that allow them to pinch their leg off right where that joint is. So they can actually pinch off their leg, they don't bleed, and then they grow a new leg.
So yeah, be fun.
Now, most of the time it takes two molts for it to get full size again. Are there any other animals you know that can regrow their legs?
Lizards can regrow their tails.
Yeah, they don't have any bones in them, but they can put them back.
Yeah.
And salamanders and things like that, some of them can regrow a leg. Most vertebrates, most things with backbones that don't have their exoskeleton on the outside, can't grow back things as easily. Whoops, I keep wanting to put this in the wrong bucket.
I'd like to say hello to Mrs. Harris's class at Penderlee Elementary. And Dr. Dan, White Oak Elementary wants to know why these are called blue crabs. I think maybe one of our students could answer that.
Michael.
Is that they have blue under here.
That's right, and you can't really see the blue as well on the younger crabs, right? That's right, but on these larger crabs that we're going to show in a minute, you can really see the blue color on them. And what kinds of water do crabs live in best? What kind of water?
What kind of water do crabs live in best? Michael, one thing you have to watch out for with the bigger ones, he might pinch you by the nose. And if you get scared and can't make it go to zero gravity, if you believe it or not, if these crabs become weightless, they open their pinchers. So if it grabs you on the nose and you can move your head just right to make it so the crab weighs nothing, like it was out in outer space, it'll let go. But if you can't do that, you'll just bleed really badly. And so you have to be very careful, because these crabs, if you come from above, although this is a very peaceful girl, will try and pinch you. Okay. And especially with the bigger crabs, we have to be careful.
You can really see the painted fingernails on this crab.
Yeah, you really can. If it's
what about that crab in that big bucket?
We'll get that one next. We want to finish looking at this. Now, if you look at this crab, something is strange about this crab from above. See, you can see her tail in the back sticking out? Doesn't look like the other one, did it?
Uh-uh.
And she's definitely a girl, because she's got painted fingernails. And she's not very blue, is she? She's brown. The older the crabs get, the browner they get, because things like iron that precipitate in estuaries, chemistry is actually kind of neat, guys. But so when the crab buries in the sediments, it picks up molecules from the sediments and turns color. So this is an old crab. It's probably a little over a year old, a year and 4 months maybe. And she's been around for a while, and she's buried a lot of times, and so she's stained. Okay, now I'm going to pick her up. Okay, and turn her over.
Oh my God.
And if you look close, you can see that she's really stained on the bottom too. And then there's this other stuff right here. What do you think that is?
Eggs.
Michael thinks it's eggs. What do you think it is, Corey?
I'm not sure. I don't really have a guess.
No, I think Michael's right. I think it's eggs. Now, what's really neat is blue crabs, and this one's really unusual. I just noticed this turning it over because I haven't looked at it before. Blue crabs, you can tell if they're going to have eggs or more eggs by looking underneath this particular spine. Now, this is hard to do, but Chris, I'll try not to move. Watch. Hang on a second. Okay. Now, if you look between, yeah, see the orangish color in there?
Yeah.
That's the next clutch of eggs. And most crabs with eggs that are this color haven't already got the next clutch of eggs ready to go. But this one does. Okay? So there are two clutches of eggs on this crab. Lots of fishermen think that the crabs have one clutch of eggs and then die. Last year we trapped a whole bunch of these animals and kept track. And the little crabs, like this one, have maybe 15 clutches of eggs in a summer.
Whoa.
Now, I say little crab and eggs. How many eggs are there, do you suppose?
I don't know, probably 1,000 million.
1,000 million is a billion.
Okay.
Right?
Huh?
What do you think, Corey?
Probably about 200,000, which is probably a lot.
Yeah. Okay, you're both wrong, but Corey's closer.
That's one big one.
That's about...
200?
No, it's about 1.5 million.
Wow.
If you had $1 million, that would be good. And right now, the eggs are orange.
Whoa.
Because that's yolk, just like in the center of a chicken egg.
Yeah.
But in a little while, so they're starting to get rusty colored. In a little while, this egg mass will be black. And the reason it'll be black is because the embryos develop eyes. The babies have huge eyes, and as the eyes develop, the eggs turn black. Yes, Michael?
The side right there, right in the middle of the eye, just opened up like a flat door.
Which?
It's right by the eyes.
That's its mouth.
Oh. Has it opened up?
And if you look, there's special little things there,
mm-hmm.
And it's got these crabs. You see, they got 10 appendages on the outside, 10 legs. They've got a whole bunch of stuff for managing food on the inside. And they all used to be legs, and some are modified into mouth parts, and some are modified into swimming appendages.
We had a question about the legs. UNC Hospital School wants to know, how long does it take to regrow a claw or a leg?
Okay, if you take off a couple of legs off a crab, it will start to get ready to molt. And that whole process takes about 2 weeks. And it'll molt in 2 weeks, and it'll have a small leg. And then it'll molt probably again in another 4 weeks and have a full-size leg.
Cool.
If you took a leg off this girl, it would never grow back because she will never molt again. So when she loses all of her legs, she's stuck. And that's one of the things that kills female crabs is after they go through their terminal molt, and their tail changes shape. Remember the triangular shape? Now look, this is all round. And it's got all sorts of neat feathery things on the sides. And these feathery things actually have two parts. The other part is what the eggs are glued to. The female has internal fertilization, and when she extrudes her eggs, what she does is she buries in the sand on a 45-degree angle with her tail closed. Like, she's like this. With her tail closed, and then she puts out about a third of an egg mass, fertilizing as it comes out. And when you fertilize the eggs, they produce a glue on the outside, a two-part epoxy. And the epoxy glues down onto the appendages that you can see just this one side of here. And you can barely see the grooves anymore. Then she comes up a little bit out of the sand, opens her tail a little bit more, and extrudes the second, third of the clutch of eggs, and then she'll do that again. The whole process takes a couple hours.
White Oak Elementary wants to know, how can you tell how old a crab is?
That's real hard. The only way you can really tell is to keep track of them, and since they move, we have crabs that are marked here, and 2 weeks later they're at Cape Hatteras. And I was listening to an NPR talk about butterflies this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Butterflies fly all the way from Alaska and New England down to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
These crabs move anywhere from the Chesapeake Bay to Florida. The oldest crabs around that were marked are about 7. And from watching them for 20 years and marking thousands, I marked 12,000 crabs in the last few years, I can say that most female crabs live less than 2 years. And most male crabs live less than 2 years, too. Mm-hmm. So this animal might be 2 years old, but it's not likely.
And we were talking about how well they move. That's from their back paddles. And the scientific name for blue crab is Callinectes sapidus. And in Latin, that means beautiful swimmer.
Exactly. I got another question for you guys. What do you suppose those big spines are for? See these two giant spines?
Yeah.
Really sharp?
Terry, do you know what the spines are for?
Yes. Protection?
From what?
From...
Not from me.
Other crabs?
Nah.
Maybe it's protection from what eats them?
Yeah, that's really good. And what would eat them?
I don't know.
What?
Maybe when something tried to swim in, do I just poke them?
Yeah, maybe, but what would eat a crab this size especially?
Us.
Yeah, it doesn't help for us though. I'll show you in a little bit, but that doesn't work very well.
What's that thing flopping down there near the mountain?
What else might work? Can you think of anything else that's in the ocean that eats things?
Sharks.
Sharks do. Anything else?
Dolphins.
How about a sea turtle? Would a sea turtle eat a blue crab?
Oh, big time. And they don't care about these spines. The sea turtles actually go in the crab pots and cut the crab pots open and eat the crabs out.
Huh.
But fish eat them. There are things like striped bass. And
what about barracuda?
Barracuda probably don't. But one of the interesting things for me is I've looked at the spines for a long time. And look at how big these spines are. And I've got to figure out how to do this. Somebody dumped that crab in here.
What about birds?
Do birds eat blue crabs?
Not a big crab. I don't want the little tiny crab.
Oh.
That's okay. You can dump the big crab in. But we better get this one out first.
We have about 30 minutes, so if we want to move on to the other crab shortly.
We will shortly. Okay. This guy. Yeah, dump him in there.
And you can really see the beautiful blue color on the underside of their claws.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Okay, now...
He's humongous.
And you can see other stuff. See, no painted fingernails. They're blue instead of orange. Woo, that was close, wasn't it? Okay, and you notice this crab has got fouling on it. See, there are worms and stuff on this side, right in there.
So fouling are just other organisms that attach to a hard surface, like the bottom of your boat.
And the reason this crab's got fouling on it is because... No, I kept it in the lab and it couldn't bury.
Oh.
So it's slowly building up. See, it's got stuff on the top too. And although we know females don't mold ever again once they get mature, I don't think once a male crab is mature it molds either. But if you look... This female crab, here Chris, I'll do it like this.
Okay.
This female crab's spines, in proportion to her carapace, are much bigger than the male crab spines. You can see that just by looking and comparing. Now this male crab is as big as they get, and it's got big spines. But this girl's spines are much bigger and related to how big she is. And one of the cool things about these guys is when the girl's eggs turn black, she gets up and swims on a falling tide. So in a strong tidal estuary like this one, all the female crabs, after their second clutch of eggs, remember they have 5 to 12 clutches of eggs a year sometimes, are out in the ocean. And they're out where they're big fish. And they live out there. And I think that's the reason these animals have such big spines. Now, if you go up to a place where there are lots of big fish in the estuary, like in the Pamlico Sound, the male crabs have giant spines too. So I think they can actually smell fish, and when they smell fish, they change how their spines grow, which is kind of cool. Okay, so I'm going to...
I want to see him wrestle.
No. Now, this crab's only got one claw. Because the other one fell off, and he's not going to... It's really doubtful he's going to grow these legs back. They're just sort of sealed off.
Why did he always fall off?
He got into a fight with somebody. Maybe a fish got him. One of the things the crab does when it gets tipped over by a fish is it'll spread its claws really wide like this, too.
Well, then flip it over and see what happens.
You can see its mouth working, too.
I
want to
see what he does when you flip it over.
Can you see its nose working? That's those flicking things are its nose.
Whoa, it just went in.
Yeah.
Because the camera didn't work.
And can it smell like people can smell?
Yeah. It smells, if you think about it, everything started out in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And these kings can smell lots of things. They can smell more than we can because they can smell molecules that are only in water as well as on land. Okay, so I'm going to put these guys back. Yes, sir.
How many times would it molt in its life?
23.
Wow! I'm not even that old.
Which is kind of interesting.
It's a lot of growing.
Yeah, so I'm going to put this one back somewhere.
And one of our students wanted to know if we like to eat blue crabs. I love to eat blue crabs and make crab cakes. And soft-shell crabs are also very popular to eat. And those are just crabs that have just recently molted when their shells are still soft.
Yes, they're called peelers, and that one crab I showed you is worth $1.
Because it's about to peel and be soft?
Yeah, and most crabs are worth $0.25.
Mrs. Beasley's class at North Topsail Elementary wants to know, have you ever seen a coconut crab? I've never heard of a coconut crab.
Yeah, coconut crabs are really neat because when they're small, they live in shells like hermit crabs, but they live on land.
Okay.
Then when they get really big, like when they get up to 10 or 15 kilograms, 30 pounds,
mm-hmm.
they have a hard abdomen, and they're just this giant crab that walks around without a shell.
Cool.
And I've seen them somewhere in the world. I travel a lot. I don't remember. They live in the South Pacific, and I don't remember where I've seen them, but I've seen them in a big display somewhere. I've never seen them out loose in nature because I haven't had that opportunity. But I've seen them in a museum kind of place, alive. Okay. So now I've got a crab in a bag. And the reason I got it in the bag is because I froze it a while ago. And Corey, I brought a hammer. Take that over in the parking lot and give it a gentle crack. You don't want to smash it. You just want to break it so we can take it apart.
Okay.
So here's a fairly large male crab. Still has its original color. And this is a blue crab. You notice it's kind of greenish looking. This crab is from Lake Matamesquite, which is almost fresh water. And the crabs that are in there get very, very large. Because when you molt, to get hard, you have to pump calcium like Amy was talking about for snail shells. So you shed your skin and the new skin is soft. You pump it up with water and it stretches. And as it stretches, you add ions to it to make it hard. And then once it gets hard, you're done for that molt. You don't get any bigger. But if it takes a long time for you to harden, then you get bigger. So the crabs in Lake Matamesquite are huge. Okay, and that's a nice male crab. It's got a little bit of growth down here where it can't reach. It's got really interesting mouth parts. This one we can see all the mouth parts.
It's interesting to think about blue crabs in freshwater because I always think about them being in the estuary or out in the ocean.
Yes, and the biggest ones are in low salinity water. Mm-hmm. So in the top of the estuary, you get animals that are in low salinity water. Now, one of the guys that works here studies crab movements. And these guys, even if they're in the laboratory instead in the dark, know what the tide's doing outside. The female crabs swim on falling tides. The male crabs swim on rising tides. So if you swim on rising tides, you end up going up estuary. and these guys end up in the top of the estuary in low salinity water.
Wait, now, 20 minutes.
Okay, that's good. We have plenty of time to do this stuff. I can open his tail up since he's dead. And you can see that he doesn't have big feathery things. He's only got these two devices that are involved in reproduction. And that's poop coming out there, for those of you who like poop. Thanks, Chris. You knew we'd get there eventually. Now, I'm going to open him up. Now, look here. This spine is weird. That animal got damaged when it molted, maybe got pinched by another crab. So it's got this strange-looking spines on this side and a normal spine on that side. Now, Chris, I may splash, so...
Oh, okay.
Because I'm going to pop the top off. Okay, so now, what have we got here? It's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is cool.
These are gills. Crabs breathe water and they have gills, okay? And I'm looking in here to see what's on the gills. Not a lot. They're pretty clean. You can see that they're getting a little bit dirty. And the way the crab actually keeps them clean most of the times is it has a windshield wiper that goes up and down across the gills. Okay? Now, when I pulled its top off, see this orange stuff? That's its liver. And this pink stuff, those are its gonads. Now, its heart was right here, under my finger, right at the surface. But crabs have really, really thin hearts that pump really, really slowly. And the result of that is the heart ripped up when I pulled off the top. Okay, so the rest of this is gut down in here. Now I can split it in half. If we're going to eat this crab, we'd eat the muscle. This kind of muscle. Out of the swimming back legs, because that's where most of the crab meat is, right? Okay, so that's what I want to show you there. Now I want to show you these two things. I want to show you the claws. Notice how one crab is much bigger than the other, one claw is much bigger than the other, and it's got different kind of structures on the pincher part. See here? See those? And compare them to these. One is for crushing, and one is for cutting. The one for cutting can move 10 times as fast as the one for crushing. The muscle's different in both of the claws. Now, if you lose a crusher, the next molt, the cutter becomes the crusher, and the new little claw becomes a cutter.
Cool.
And if you look at most big crustaceans like Maine lobsters and things like that, you'll see that you have two different kinds of claws. Okay, so now I had Corey crack this one open a little bit because I wanted to show you on the inside. Okay, that's all muscle, and you can see it's all stuck on the skeleton, on the shell, on the outside shell. But if you look here, that's what it's attached to on the inside, that thin ligament. You can see that, and the way these work is the muscles actually pull on this part and make the claw close and allow you to crush things with it.
Cool.
Okay.
We had a question. Are blue crabs only in North Carolina? Absolutely not. Chesapeake Bay is famous for their blue crabs. Where else are blue crabs found?
Chesapeake Bay was famous for their blue crabs. Yeah. All the blue crabs in Maryland right now, a huge percentage of them come from North Carolina. And they go all the way from Boston to Brazil. And they live in the Gulf of Mexico, too. And they live up to 70 miles offshore in the Gulf of Mexico. Okay. So, And what's the next question?
Fiddler crabs.
You ready for your fiddler crabs? Okay, let's do some fiddler crab stuff. Do we? Yeah, we can't go anywhere, can we? Corey, you have to go in there. Okay, we're going to do some fiddler crab stuff. But first, just before we start, if you guys have been watching Estuary Live, there's a place you need to go on the web when your teacher has the time to take you there. And maybe Captain Doug will show you the name of the place. This is wildsingapore.com. And there are links to that, to an estuary that's just like ours.
It's on the screen.
Let me look. This is good. I have to. Okay, this place, wildsingapore.com, will give you links to an estuary that's like here with one difference. It's tropical and on the equator. Captain Doug, could you put up the book? Yeah, you mean to make it a little smaller? Other way. Yeah, there you go. Okay, there's a guidebook to the place in Singapore. Open the book up a little bit, Doug. This estuary is just like ours, first couple of pages. The first page, very first page. This estuary is just like ours, except instead of a horse, they have pigs. So they have intertidal pigs. And that's Priscilla the pig. She died of old age, of all things. But the estuary in Singapore has got a problem like us. The reason we're live streaming video is not everybody can come visit us. In Singapore, there are 5.5 million people, and there's one estuary left that's the size of what you've been looking at this morning. So there are too many people. Mm-hmm. And they don't do Estuary Live yet, but I'm talking about having them do it. So get to that website. The woman, Rhea Tan, that wrote that book that I just showed you, takes spectacular pictures along with a bunch of other people. And if you want to see, you'll see two things. You'll see the same kinds of animals that we have here, but then you'll see a whole bunch of things we don't have, like anemones that are as big as a doormat, and all sorts of really, really neat animals. And it's a cool place to look at it. And the web's got a lot of different places. And in case Rhea Tan or Siva or Irony or any of the volunteers that are in Chek Jawa are listening on the web today, hi from Dan.
Do we know what time it is in Singapore?
Yeah, it's 10:45 at night.
Okay, so they'll be up late watching, hopefully.
Yes. Okay, so let's do some fiddler crab stuff. First of all, let's just put some fiddler crabs in a bowl and put it on, what's this thing called?
The Elmo.
Elmo.
Our friend the Elmo.
I went out the other night because fiddler crabs are out at night too. They're the only yucca, the genus, is a tropical genus of crabs. And so I went out at night to see fiddler crabs in the tropics. And I discovered that they all go home and go to bed. So I was the only one out there. If you go out here at night in September, the animals are 10 feet wide and shoulder to shoulder. And they're out all night eating because they've run out of food. So there's a bunch of fiddler crabs. Can we focus in on that group a little bit?
Terry, do you know how we tell a male fiddler crab from a female fiddler crab?
I do not.
Okay.
Is it the same way as blue crab-ish, kind of?
That's a good guess, because all these crabs are related.
Right.
Although these have been separated from blue crabs probably by millions of years.
Right.
But that's a good guess, and yes, you can do that. You can look, turn them over and
turn
look.
Them over.
But these guys are modified in a special way, too. See one group's got big claws,
mm-hmm.
and the other group's got two little claws. The girls have two claws that are small, and the boys have one big claw. And what do you suppose they do with the big claw? Michael's doing it.
Michael's doing it? Waving?
Yeah, they wave their claw. What else do you think they do with their claw, Michael?
They try to crack open little clams.
Now, those claws are almost non-functional. They do three things with their crabs. They wave at girls. And they do that. They really do. They just stand there and wave. That's one thing they do with them. The other thing they do with them is they'll run up to another male and they'll grab each other by the big claw and one guy will throw the other one away.
Wait.
Yeah. And the other thing the crabs do at night is they'll stick their claw in their burrow and rattle it. So if you go out at night and you don't disturb the crabs, you can hear the males rattling their claws if you listen really carefully.
And what's the purpose of rattling their claws?
Well, you can't see somebody waving at night.
Oh.
And we had a student that studied how females make the choice of which crab to have to mate with. So we did mate choice things. And it turns out that it doesn't matter how big the claw is or anything else. What do you suppose is important to the female crab? Mike, got an idea, Michael?
What's important to a female crab in choosing a male, do you know?
I don't know.
Guess.
How fast they can mate it? Or how quickly?
No. think about guys at high school. What works? Or what do they think works?
How persistent they are. No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How persistent is part of it. The other part of it is what kind of vehicle they have, right?
Ah, yes.
For people, it's automobiles.
Yes.
For crabs, it's what your burrow looks like.
Oh.
So what the male crab does is they build a little pillar behind their house to attract the females as well as their claw. And then they take the female down and she investigates the burrow. And if she likes the digs, she stays. And if she doesn't, she leaves and goes on. And you can switch the crabs around and give them other people's burrows. The burrow works. So it's all resources.
A lesson to us all to be neat and tidy.
Yeah, and to think about what you're doing. Okay, so now we're going to try. We got questions. What's the lifespan of a crab,
a fiddler crab?
These guys, when they're mature, probably die at the end of that year normally. So like the biggest one you see in the picture right now, the male, the third from the right, is mature now. He probably lives from now until September or October, and then he dies. So if you got a crab that's full size, it probably lives about that long. Now, that might not be true. Nobody's ever looked at the total lifespan of a crab. These guys might actually live 5 or 6 years if you could keep them exactly correctly. I kind of doubt it, because when I study these crabs, their population low is right now, and they're only about 5 million out there. And then by the end of the summer, there are 30 million. And then the next spring, they're 5 million again. So I think they're only living for about a year, at most a year once they mature, probably less time than that.
What's your question?
The other one, when we had a big crab in there, there was part of his claw, the tip of it was missing.
Yeah, the crab's claws are incredibly strong, and they can actually break the tips off if they get scared and pinch something. And that was the girl crab that had the broken claw, right? And she pinched a canoe paddle. Because I had to put her in the bottom of the canoe when I was bringing her back. And she grabbed the paddle because she was scared and pinched and broke her claw.
How'd you put her on the bottom canoe?
Well, I know how they work.
How?
So after you catch a few thousand, you know how they work. Okay, we're gonna do a little experiment with these crabs if we get a chance. And the way we want to do that is we want to move a new bowl into the Elmo and put 30 mils of water in it. Corey? Captain Doug? Oh, Salvata?
Saluda.
Saluda. Will crabs reproducing, will fiddler crabs reproduce in activity?
Captivity?
In
their classroom.
No, they won't. And the reason they won't is because just like the blue crabs, these crabs have eggs that hatch into larvae, and the larvae actually develop out on the continental shelf in the ocean. And it takes a couple of weeks for that to happen. And then they come back in as the last larval stage, which is equivalent to a fly pupa, and they turn into adults. So you can come here and find little tiny ones that would live a really, really long time. The thing with the little ones is, if anybody's worked with these fiddler crabs, if you run up to them, they run away. If you run up to the little tiny ones, they freeze. And they're so small, you can't even see them. But if you stand there for a while and don't move, they'll forget you're there. And then they'll start walking around, and you can find the little tiny ones. And those will live for a really long time. Okay, we're switching to a new bowl here. Go all the way up on it for a minute. Oh, those are, look at those. How weird is that? Those aren't fiddler crabs. Corey's playing tricks on me. Those are hermit crabs. It's quite all right. Put just an empty bowl there, and then focus on it. And we're gonna do an experiment to see what crabs might eat. There's an empty bowl. Now add 30 mils of water, Corey.
5 or 10 minutes.
Okay, we got 5 or 10 minutes. That's just about right. I'm freezing out here. There goes the water. Okay, now, believe it or not, fiddler crabs have sweet tooths. And fiddler crab tongues are on their legs, on the tips of their legs. So fiddler crabs like sugar. Okay? So what we're going to do is that coffee cup of sugar in there, pour that in the middle of this bowl. Okay. Now spread it around a little bit with your finger. Remember where the crabs were, they were on the edges. Wonderful, good job. Now add a handful of crabs. This is like a recipe for cooking. And then once you add those crabs, go low and nobody move. Okay, now watch the crabs and look for somebody putting food in his mouth. So see that boy eating right there?
Oh, yeah.
There's another one eating. Is there a girl there? She's going to eat pretty soon.
Cool. So they're eating the grains of sugar.
Yeah, except these crabs have what's called a command neuron. So if you put them in water with the right chemicals in it, the result will be that they eat pretend sand grains at exactly 1 beat per second. Because they have a nerve that fires every muscle in their body and allows them to eat 1 beat a second. Now, here's an interesting thing that's not estuarine. I found out last week that cats can't taste sugar. You notice your cats are really finicky? Not just domestic cats, lions, mm-hmm. tigers, hyenas, probably mongoose and civets. And after 50 years, people have finally figured out the reason cats can't take sugar is the molecule that they use to detect sugar has got a mutation in it, and it's broken, and they don't generate it. So cats only have 5 taste senses instead of 6. They can't taste sweet at all. And if that's maybe why your cats are so finicky. Okay, now, do we have a little more time? Okay, there's an interesting thing. I gave Corey some packets of sugar. Move these guys out into some clean water and get a new bowl. And then I got equal, we can put the packages there. We've got sweet and low and equal. We can put those on Elmo and look at them. We may not be able to read the fine print, but I'm going to tell you what it says anyway. Okay, we're waiting for the crabs to move out of the way. And now we're looking for a sweet and low packet and an equal packet. There's equal. There's sweet and low. Now, I don't know if you can read the fine print or not. Probably not. What do you suppose the first ingredient is in these sugar substitutes? Oh, you can read it.
Dextrose, I see.
You see dextrose as an ingredient. What do you suppose dextrose is?
I'm going to say like a starch.
It's sugar.
It's sugar.
2 dextrose molecules put together is almost, in fact, 2 molecules that are like that are almost regular table sugar. Okay, so I know that the crabs can taste these, and we can show that these contain sugar by putting the crabs in them. And let's try that. Let's open a couple of packages and put in a little bit more water and see if they can eat this. When I first did this experiment, I was curious if crabs had the same kind of taste receptors as we did, and if they could taste sweet and low and equal. And I put it in using it by weight, mm-hmm. and I found out that the line that I got doing the science looks exactly like the line for sugar.
So they can taste it?
They can taste it because it contains sugar.
Okay.
Now, how can it contain sugar, but it says it's a sugar substitute?
I don't know.
That's because the way the laws are written, half of a sugar molecule isn't sugar, even though it's this half is the one that feeds your brain. Okay, so one of the things you can learn to do if you learn a little tiny bit of chemistry is learn to read the packages and find out what you're really eating. Now, there are other additives in that sugar that you can taste that the crabs can't, because the taste that you can, that other receptor, you have a second receptor they don't have because you evolved a long time ago separately from them. And that other receptor is one that fires in you that they don't have. So if you use just the pure compound, they can't taste it. Are we ready? We put it in, throw a couple crabs in there and see if they eat. And then we have to... Okay, now you got to be still. See them eating?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We lost him.
We lost him. Okay, are there anybody with any questions?
Where would you find fiddler crabs in the estuary? Would they be like on the beach, near shore, like right in the water?
Okay, around here there are three different kinds. There's a giant one that lives in low salinity water called Eucaminax, and it lives in marshes, in Spartina marshes. Then there's this one that wears blue eyeshadow called Euca pugnax. And it's found in higher salinity water in muddy places. And then there's the sand fiddler, which you find out on the sand flat mainly. And it lives in sandy areas. Okay. What do we got here? Do other crabs have sweet tooths? Yeah. Things especially like the spider crabs, the crabs that eat plants mainly, have especially good sweet tooths. These crabs have the same enzymes on their legs that you have in your spit. So they can taste crackers just like you do, and they do all sorts of things like that. What they do is their legs taste sand. They pick up the sand and they spit on it. They have the same enzymes as you have in your mouth and their spit. 9 seconds later, they've taken all the living things off the sand and they put the sand back down.
So they're very discriminative about what they eat. They don't want that sand.
No, they don't want the sand. In fact, they put it back. And out there on the flat in September, every 6 hours, the crabs that are out there, these little tiny crabs, move 200 tons of sand.
Wow.
They eat the whole photic zone of the sand flat. Do fiddler crabs eat other fiddler crabs? Yeah, they do when they die. Otherwise, they don't. If you kill a fiddler crab, the other crabs will eat it, because they can taste meat, too. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Dan Richoff, for being out here at Estuary Live. He's our Estuary Live regular. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to head back out to the island and see how our seahorse is doing. Please keep sending in your names for our seahorses. We want to encourage the teachers to send in an evaluation of the program, and we will send you an e-certificate of participation. I'm Whitney Jenkins with the National Estuarine Research Reserve, and we have Terry.
I'm Terry Denault with West Carteret High School.
Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you in a few minutes.